How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, February 19th, 2020. Happy birthday, Dennis. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
Now, we're not faking anybody out. It's Security Friday, still a separate thing. But today, we do have a couple of things to discuss. And first is a photo tip that you have for everybody.
Yeah, so you and Brian challenged me yesterday to come up with a photo tip. And
we did. That's true.
There's actually something new I've been doing in my photography for kind of a while now, maybe the last 5 or 6 months now. Mm-hmm. And if there was ever a headline, and maybe I could write this headline because I'll write this tip up. But if there's ever a headline that said something like, this one simple trick will greatly improve your photos instantly.
Yes.
In my opinion, that would be shooting in HDR.
Okay. Now, what's HDR?
Let's see. High dynamic range. It basically, it's a way to help balance out the shadows in your highlights in your pictures.
Okay.
A big problem I see in some people's photos, like on social media, is the blown out highlights, and it doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. Blown out highlights is like, if you hear that term, it refers to clipping. Clipping can happen in highlights and shadows, but most of the time, people are more focused on the highlights because it's more noticeable. Mm-hmm. And it just means that your highlights have gotten so, like it just lost all this detail. And so all the patches of white is just like blank white. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard, if not almost impossible in some situations, to kind of recover those.
Yeah.
So
sunsets, I think, are a good example of this, of both of these, because sometimes you will take a sunset photo and like the part, like as you get closer to the sun, it just turns into a big white area of your picture. Yeah. And if you have anything in the foreground in that sunset photo, that usually just ends up being a black outline. It sort of looks like a shadow because there's no additional information there, because generally, and I say generally, for a reason, phone cameras can usually do one or the other. So you can get the sunset, but anything on the ground is going to just be non-existent. Or yeah, you can get the ground and whatever's happening with the sun is just going to be the opposite. It's just going to be a big white blur instead of a big black blur. So I've seen a lot of those photos, and HDR is a thing that makes it so this isn't as big of a problem, right?
Yeah. And it also, it can greatly improve and capture some of the colors in a scene that might otherwise be lost because of these really bright highlights. So it's just a really simple way to take great pictures, I think. Like when I was, I took a trip to California last October, and I was using HDR for everything. And there was plenty of photos that I took where I thought they looked so good, I didn't need to edit them. Mm-hmm. Now, what's kind of annoying to me is that on my phone, at least, I don't know if this changed in newer models, because newer iPhones have smart HDR. Mm-hmm. But on my iPhone 7 Plus, it has just regular HDR. And there is no setting to make it stay on all the time. You have to manually, you know, go up, tap the HDR button, and then tap on.
Okay.
Or tap auto, which is kind of annoying, but I think it's worth it because it just makes your photos look good. Mm-hmm. And all right. Unlike with other apps and cameras, I like Apple's HDR because it looks more natural.
Yeah, what I initially, when people started putting out these HDR photos, they were the ones that, at least to me, it looked artificial. Yeah. Even if I couldn't necessarily put my finger on why it looked artificial. it's sort of like auto-tune. Like if you use a little bit of it, you're not supposed to notice. And then when you use a whole bunch, it becomes very clear. This is what you're doing.
Exactly.
Which is a decision that some people make, and that's fine. But that's a thing that I have found. I will add my quick little photo tip here because I have done this even with my iPhone 11 and it has worked pretty well. And that is shoot with your sunglasses over the lens. I wrote this up ages ago because we all got together at one point, Mac Observer folks, and I was trying to take a nice picture of a sunset. And I pulled out my sunglasses and I stuck my sunglasses over the lens. And like Jeff Gammon, I think it was, went, "What on earth are you doing?" And so I took a picture without them and a picture with them. And I said, and I showed it to him, "That's what I'm doing." And he went, "That's amazing. Did you write that up?" And I'm like, "No." And he's like, "Well, you are now." So
yeah.
So I have a quick little tutorial that I wrote up. So I'll have a link to that in the show notes because it does... it does really, really help. And it's one of the, like, everybody has their phone with them. Most people have their sunglasses with them. And it makes it, it's just sort of turns up a little bit, sort of like HDR. It helps make the difference. You can see, I have a couple of examples in mind where you can see at least that I'm getting a better image to start with. And then if I want to make adjustments, I can do that. But yeah. That's a good one.
Especially if you have polarized sunglasses.
Yes.
Because a polarized lens, that is what removes like shiny reflections on glass or water. And so when you take a shot in those scenes, it'll just look crystal clear and amazing.
And realistically, if you're carrying them around, if you're trying to wear sunglasses to sort of help protect your eyes from the sun, they need to be polarized. So, and it's not hard to get your hands on a pair of polarized sunglasses. I've literally purchased them at the drugstore. So I know it's possible. Yeah. So that would be the other one. Like I said, I'll have a link to that in the show notes. And once Andrew has his tip written up, we will talk more about, I'll have a link to the HDR tips in the show notes as well. The other thing we have to discuss today is something that came up on a previous Security Friday. And that was a mention that we made of iCloud backup and iCloud sync not being the same thing. And not everybody knows the difference. So, Andrew, we made this mention. And then the more we thought about it, the more it sounded like something that maybe could use a little bit more explanation. So go ahead and break that down for us.
Yeah. So basically, iCloud and iCloud backup are two different things. iCloud is a syncing service. And that just means that it syncs all your files across all your devices. But if you delete a file from one device, it gets deleted on all your other devices, which means that you probably want to make an actual backup of your data instead of just relying on iCloud. But iCloud backup, as we also briefly mentioned, that's not really a true backup either. It doesn't back up everything. It mostly just doesn't back up things that are already stored in iCloud. Apple does have a list of what it does back up on their website. It includes stuff like app data, device settings, home screen and app organization. iMessage in certain situations. If you turn messages in iCloud on, then I think that gets stored in its own separate thing and not as part of the backup.
Yeah, I think iMessage in the cloud is a separate thing that you have available to you, I think is how that works.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. That's kind of confusing because I think maybe it is stored, like maybe messages in iCloud are stored separately, but I think the key, the encryption key, is stored in the backup.
Okay.
So it's kind of confusing.
Yeah.
But then your photos and videos are stored in iCloud backup, ringtones, visual voicemail, and all your purchase history, which is good. But what about all your other data? Like if you have files in iCloud Drive, those won't be in your backup.
Right.
So I tried to think of maybe a couple of alternatives. As I found out, iTunes backup is sort of the same thing. It doesn't back up things stored in iCloud.
Right.
Now, presumably, Like just as one example, if you use Apple Notes, you have the option of storing your notes in iCloud and also locally on each device. Now, presumably, the local notes would be stored in one of these backups.
I would think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I would hope so, but who knows?
And another thing we mentioned in that other episode was iMazing. And yes. iMazing, I've never used it, but as far as I know, I think it is a true backup in that it backs up everything on your phone.
It is. I'm here to tell you, as a longtime iMazing user, it will back up your voicemail. It will back up passwords to things. The other thing, like, that's the biggest advantage that you get to plugging your phone into your computer, like a caveman, is if you're not on Catalina and you're using iTunes to make your backup, you can encrypt your backup with a password. And the reason you want to do that is because then it will back up your health data, and it will also back up, like, all those Wi-Fi passwords that you have and all of your email passwords and everything. So if you ever do have to restore, you may notice that you have to enter every password. You have to enter your iCloud password. You have to enter your email password. You have to enter your other email password, your Wi-Fi password, your other Wi-Fi password. Anything that has any sort of login data that you've got stashed on your phone, that stuff is not stored. And the only way to make sure it gets preserved is to use an encrypted backup on iTunes in order to make sure that that stuff gets saved. If you're not using a separate password manager that's just filling those things in, or, you know, or you have them stored as part of whatever password management you're using, then you have to use encrypted backup. Otherwise, like, you're only getting back, you know, 3/4 of your stuff or whatever it is, because then you have to enter passwords for everything all over again.
Yeah.
So,
and,
yeah.
We did mention, like, good backup hygiene is having 3 copies of your data.
Yes.
But even if you just have 2, that's still a good start.
Yes.
So ideally, it would be a backup in the cloud, a local backup, and then another local backup stored at someone else's house or just in another location. So, yeah.
When people talk about offsite backup, that's what they mean, is it doesn't live in the same location as the data, the original data itself.
Yeah. And I mean, so for the Mac, for a local backup, you have Time Machine. I'm sure there are other apps that make local ones. A cloud service for the Mac that I've used before is Backblaze. It's just $5 a month. That's really good. It backs up everything.
Yep.
There are other services like that too. And something else I mentioned in my article is I use this wireless flash drive from SanDisk, and it's nice because that, like, for your iOS devices, that's kind of hard to make a local backup.
Yes.
But with this device, it will automatically back up your photos and videos. And then, of course, like a regular USB drive, I can just manually drag and drop all my files over to it.
Okay.
Like, because to me, backing up iCloud Drive is the most important because all of my files are in the drive.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that definitely is a thing that I think as iCloud services, whatever ones you're using, have gotten more reliable, and you hear less horror stories about it munched all my contacts or you know, all my emails toast or anything like that. Like, we used to hear stories about, like, every possible way that a cloud service could fail about iCloud. All of them. And so as it's gotten more reliable, I think people are sort of not worrying about it as much. I mean, you know, all my stuff's there. Like, the whole time I had that phone before I had this one, I never had a problem. Everything was fine. And that can make a huge difference when, you know, if something happens to that data, or something, you know, goes away in some fashion, it's really nice to be able to recover from that. So definitely there should, even if it's in iCloud, you think it's on all of your devices, like, there should still be a backup of that somewhere that doesn't get touched. That's super important. Yeah.
And another thing I just thought of, this doesn't really have anything to do with backups, but like when you're restoring your phone, if you have a new device, you can restore from iCloud in mm-hmm. iCloud backup. But with, I think it was iOS 12.4, it enabled direct data transfer between your devices. Mm-hmm. So as long as you have like a lightning to lightning cable, you can just mm-hmm. plug your devices, your two iOS devices together, and then directly transfer the data over. So yeah. I think that's a really nice offline option.
That is, as an offline option, it's fantastic. The I have an old device and I want to transfer all of that to a new device works pretty well, even if you're doing it wirelessly. I just mm-hmm. did that over the weekend with migrating to a new iPad. And it works pretty well. Just like the phone one where it's got like the picture of the dots and you take the picture of the one with the camera on the other and then you just sort of hang out and wait and all your stuff moves over. It's really nice, actually. So migrating your data usually isn't too big a deal, but you could get the same thing by plugging your new device into your computer and having your computer go, well, it's new. Do you want me to restore a backup to this and then restore that backup from whatever? That's actually how I moved to my iPhone 11 from my iPhone 8 was I used iMazing. And when I plugged in the 11, it went, I don't know what to do with this. What do you want? And I said, put my iPhone 8 back up on here. And it was like, cool, give me a minute. And then it was all there. It was fantastic. Oh, nice. Yeah. And the reason that I preferred that is because I had just made a backup of my 8. So everything was current before I tried to restore that backup to my iPhone 11. And I didn't have to download anything. That's the one thing about like restoring from an iCloud backup is that all that stuff has to get downloaded. And the reason that it doesn't take up a ton of space is because it sort of keeps these little placeholders for all of the apps that you have installed. And then it just goes and gets the latest version and installs it for you. So if you're somebody who's doing manual updates because you have an app that you don't want to end up updated because it's taking away some functionality or whatever, that's a thing that you have to be aware of when you're using these backups. So is that it's just going to go get the latest version of whatever that app is for you and then download that.
Yeah. There is one app on my iPhone that isn't in the App Store anymore, mm-hmm. but I've still noticed restoring to a device that app is still included.
Yeah, well, it was purchased. So it's the latest version that you purchased will still be available to you.
Okay.
That's the secret there. Even though it's not available in the App Store anymore. So there's that piece of it. The only time I think that doesn't work for you is now if it's 32-bit. I think those are going to be unavailable to you going forward. So, I think that's the only one. But otherwise, like if you have an app and the newest version is broken in some way or it took away functionality, so you have not updated it, and then you go restore from an iCloud backup, you're going to get the latest version of that app whether you like it or not. So, and that's the way that they save all that space is by not storing a bajillion copies of Angry Birds in everybody's iCloud backup. You just get whatever the latest version is. They just have a little book, like kind of like a bookmark that's like, okay, you have Angry Birds and Candy Crush and Disney Emoji Blitz and, you know, whatever else, like stash on your phone. So we just have this little tiny thing that takes up a little bit of space that goes and gets that for you on your new device. And that's it. So... Mm-hmm. If you have questions about backups, if you have tips for people about backups or syncing, or if you have a very clever backup strategy, we would absolutely like to hear about it. You can get a hold of us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. Andrew, thank you so much for coming by to talk to us about this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.